Hi, everyone. I'm Joel.
And I'm Lana.
And this is the end of the day show. And it is 12:26 a.m. So it's really the end of the day.
Or the beginning.
On today's episode, we talk a lot about intentionality in parenting and the little tricks and tips that we have gathered along the last decade of raising our kids and how we have sort of crafted a bit of a family identity through these things.
Being intentional. Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you for following along. And if you like the episode, feel free to reach out or leave a comment on your favorite tips and tricks that you are with to be intentional with your family. I'm tired.
We want to hear from you. What do you do with your family?
Yeah. And yeah, otherwise, have a great day. Thanks.
We're tired.
It's the end of the day show, and we're two tired parents. What did you say earlier?
I don't know.
It's hard to choose a happy heart.
We need a happy heart. We need two happy hearts.
Yeah. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
But it's Thursday.
Is it only Thursday?
No, it's already Thursday.
It's already Thursday.
Means it's the weekend, long weekend, Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Family's visiting this weekend. Mm-hmm. Be very nice.
I already warned them we're not doing a turkey.
Nice. Who needs turkeys? Turkeys are for rich people.
That's not us.
We can do spam. As long as it's better than spam.
I can do a chicken.
Let's do a chicken.
I don't have a problem doing a chicken, but a turkey is like...
What about a pork roast?
I mean, I've never done a pork roast. I've done a beef roast. Roast beef.
Roast pork beef. Loin?
Oh, maybe I have.
Big chunk of meat.
Honestly. My brain is half here tonight.
Happy joy.
Happy joy.
Yeah, that's funny. Today we are talking about... unusual family traditions.
Okay. See, yeah. I forget.
This reminds you. Today we're talking about unusual family traditions or the nice things that we come up with or hack together that...
The random traditions that have popped up over the years.
Yeah, that help us find joy or...
Connect as a family.
Bring good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where to begin? We've been married for 12 years, and we've had kids for most of those 12 years.
Yeah, so that's true.
We have had to find some things that sort of work in the thin seasons and are fun when there's extra. So we've had to find things that work well when we are totally strapped for cash and are just extra fun when we can spend a little bit more money on it.
Yeah. Because more often than not, we've had seasons where we're strapped for cash. So it's like, how can we be consistent with this and have it be something we can do later with the kids as well?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we have started recently that has sort of turned a negative atmosphere into sort of a better atmosphere is candlelit dinners.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can I just say what a goldmine Instagram has been? For, like, these tiny little family things that...
Thank you, influencers.
Yeah, no kidding, hey? Yeah. But yeah, talk about candlelit dinners, like, how that's been helpful.
Super helpful. Dinner time was, like, hell. If we're being honest. Because we have two toddler boys and some older girls who are very particular. And getting them to eat is just horrible. Horrendous.
It's not all bad. There's been some growth.
You're not the one who cooks. As the one who generally cooks, it's horrible because, you know, you put your energy into it and then everyone kind of whines and complains or they're arguing or, you know, family dynamics.
Yeah.
And so I stumbled on a video where someone said to, like, bring peace back to their home at dinner time. They started doing candlelit dinners. And it just, like, brought the whole atmosphere down to, like, a calm, peaceful atmosphere. And so we started it. And whenever we find ourselves getting, like, completely, I don't know, like, the family's just feeling ballistic. I don't know. Is that a good The family spiraling. I don't know.
Yeah, the family spiraling.
When the family feels like they're spiraling and it's dinner time and we have the extra time, like we're not dashing to all these different places, we just light a couple candles and turn off all the other lights, and the kids love it. Like they just kind of calm right down. I think the boys are just more mesmerized by the fact that there's fire in the house.
Right.
And they just want to play with it. But it takes their mind off of what's on their plate and like completely focuses their attention on the fire. And then they just kind of sit there and like mindlessly shovel this food into their mouths.
That's what we want on our children, is just mindless food shovel.
Just these little robots on autopilot fire.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
No, but it, like, they look forward to it. Now that the girls have started helping make dinners, they get all excited because then they want to make the table all fancy. And it's just something that they look forward to and beg for now.
Yeah. Does it feel too extra?
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of candles.
You did buy a lot of candles.
I bought a lot of candles. But part of that was like, we could use them for emergency candles if we have to. But I think if an emergency happens, we're not going to have enough candles because we use them for every candlelit dinner. But no, I mean, but our girls are extra. You know, so it's right up their alley. They love it. It makes them feel special. I think when it starts to really feel extra is when they start putting out like the chargers, like the fancy dinner plates that go underneath your plate.
I was like, phone chargers on the table?
No. They're like these plate charger things.
Shows you how high class
cultured you are. Yeah, gotta teach you your play settings. Come on. No, but they'll set up the chargers, and then because the table looks pretty, then they have this high expectation that we look pretty. And so we'll be sitting around the table with like mac and cheese and dressed to the nines.
I mean, we don't have very many fancy clothes.
We really don't.
But it is fun to make it something fun.
Yeah.
It is hard when, because they're like, because they like it so much, they want to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a high degree of fun,
yeah,
it can feel draining a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not super excited when I come home and I see like the candles on the table. I understand it's a good benefit, and I actually like it once I'm experiencing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's something I could pull off. Like, to surprise. Like,
you taking charge and doing it. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely more up my alley.
Yeah.
But they love it. I mean, it gets them something to look forward to. And then dinner time doesn't become, like, this hassle. It's, like, exciting for them.
Right.
And it's more exciting for me because I'm not sitting there like, hey, one more bite, one more bite. They're just,
I think they're also less focused on the food too.
100%.
Because they're more focused on the atmosphere and trying to make it nice. Mm-hmm. So also just subconsciously they'll make better decisions.
Yeah.
But
also you don't have all the artificial lights around you. And so I feel like their energy levels just kind of like naturally go down to the level of the light. And they're just a lot calmer. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I haven't noticed that much, but
I have. Like, the boys kind of, like, they'll still, like, twiddle their thumbs and stuff and just kind of wiggle in their seats because they don't stop moving. The boys, like, they're more engaged, I think, in the conversation and,
Yeah.
But specifically the girls, they love it. And they kind of argue about who gets to set it up and who gets to actually light the candles.
Yeah. Then, I think that, is a really good hack or activity to take what can be and has been a really stressful moment for us and turn it into something that's actually a memory for the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to remember any of the candlelit dinners probably, but they're really going to,
it's gonna be like a core memory for them.
And formative too, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to feel the love and affection and attention that they get from it. And then hopefully grow up understanding that we actually do love them.
Yeah. But I love that it's like, it's so budget friendly because you can go to the dollar store and get like a whole pack of little tea light candles and you can take it anywhere. You can take it camping. You can take it, you know, if you're going on vacation or something, like it's a tradition that can go anywhere that you're going. And I mean, we, like I said, we had mac and cheese for dinner. It wasn't anything extravagant, but it was special for them because the lights were on, or the candles were on.
I do like that it is budget friendly, but I also like that we're modeling taking a ordinary or chaotic activity and turning it into something that is nice.
Enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I think we get to talk about our favorite season of our lives, COVID. But there was a few of these little things that came out of COVID.
Yeah, for sure.
That we sort of enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't all bad.
There were like some gold nuggets that came out of that season because I think everyone had to think outside the box on to some degree on like bringing enjoyment into their life while feeling so isolated.
Yeah. So date nights. Date nights are one of those things when you have a lot of kids and they're young and you know, when you have a lot of kids and they're young, there's not extra to go to fancy restaurants and stuff.
You're spending it all on diapers and wipes.
You're spending it all on diapers and wipes. And yeah, I think maybe talk about what we came up with during COVID.
Yeah. So my brain is just not working tonight.
For sure. We lived in a small town.
Yeah.
We lived in a small mountain town, and there was a Save on Foods, there was a Dairy Queen, and there was a Subway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like Subway.
No. Nope.
So we didn't go to Subway.
Oh, there's an A&W. But you don't like A&W.
I didn't like that A&W.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was a Dairy Queen, which I don't think I could go to now because we've been to Dairy Queen so many times.
Yeah.
But we
It was like our special treat.
And we started doing dates in the car. Right? Mm-hmm. Like I would go, or you would go, mostly I would go down to Dairy Queen, buy two brownies with ice cream or something. Mm-hmm. And just drive back, and the kids would be rioting in the house, but we would be sitting in the van.
We would have like a baby monitor,
yeah,
like set in the house, and we would just be in the driveway, like we weren't anywhere far, and so we could keep an eye on them and listen to them, and we would just sit there in peace and be like, "Hey, mommy and daddy are having their date now," because they weren't allowed to go anywhere, like during that whole 2 years or whatever. Year and a half, they weren't allowed to go into the stores or into restaurants or anything. And so it was just a nice way to like bring that environment home and still spend quality time. And like, it was still a splurge. Like there were moments where we had to decide like, okay, are we going to eat macaroni this week for most meals and have a date night? Or are we going to add vegetables into the mix? But you know, when we were intentional about date nights, it was really nice because it was just a small amount of time. Like we weren't out there for a long time. Sometimes it was just 15 minutes sitting in the car, listening to music that we liked and wasn't like Disney or, you know, Hamilton, which is all great, but repetitive. And so just having that intentional time together and like taking a moment to breathe and reset, and it's just nice. Like I think that's what saved our sanity during that season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really was, you know, wasn't the most manly activity in the world, and it wasn't like, but it was just nice.
Yeah,
you know, we got to like let our friendships shine through even in the tough season of COVID, and we still found a chance to connect.
Yeah.
Because at that time we were sort of doing the church stuff together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We were raising kids together all the time. I was sort of losing my job at the same time or not really getting any shifts. And so we were just together all the time.
And we weren't really allowed to see family because they lived a couple hours away. So we weren't allowed to cross like health borderlines.
Crazy.
And stuff. And so we were like on our own, really. And so it was nice to find a way to connect. I think now that I'm thinking about it, I think it started while you were still working at the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And I had texted you earlier that day to be like, Tag, it's been a hard day. and you just surprised me by coming home. And you're like, hey, meet me in the car. And we just sat out there with our brownie and sundae and just enjoyed the peace and quiet for a little while. And I kept wanting to go back in. You're like, nope, they're good. They're safe. They're watching a movie.
It wasn't all peace and quiet.
No.
Eventually, the kids sort of caught on.
And they realized there were treats in the car when we were in the car.
Yeah. And they sort of came out to bother us.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We got to spend all of our time with our kids. So it's not like they were starved for attention.
Yeah.
But just as kids do, they don't really understand the social boundary that's being put into place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a bit tricky and easy to lose my temper or patience.
Yeah.
With them, because it's like, we finally found something we really like.
Uh-huh.
And now every time they see me drive home from something,
they expect you to have
ice cream in the car.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no. What's happening?
So now they get all excited. They're like, daddy's home. And you're like, hey. They're like, oh, no treats.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why they're not so excited to see me anymore.
You don't come with full hands.
That's funny. Yeah. But something else that happened during COVID was something that I got to do with the kids quite often, which was there wasn't a lot of shopping available in our town. Mm-hmm. And so we had to drive to
like an hour and a half.
Hour and a half for shopping, sort of any direction. We had to drive mm-hmm. an hour and a half for shopping. And so when you would go, or when we needed to go shopping, like do a Costco run mm-hmm. or a big superstore run or something, we would all drive the hour and a half because mm-hmm. we all needed something different.
Change of scenery.
A change of scenery.
Yeah.
And then I would sort of just hang out on the grass areas and parking lots and find parks that weren't closed.
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
Because they were, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Anyway, don't want to get too far into that. And we would try and find places where it was just enough of a grass patch where we could sit and have a little picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Or sit and have a little good time.
Yeah, because sometimes it was just that little green space in like a parking lot, like the little median that they...
Yeah, or like on the edge of a parking lot or something.
Yeah.
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 And that was fun, actually. And just the other day, we went out for dinner with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we had to go to Walmart to pick some stuff up. And I stayed at the van with the boys and you went in. But partly because... one of our boys, he ate too much food.
He got really excited about his meal.
And so he wasn't feeling great. And so we're not like, we were sitting there thinking, well, we don't want you sitting in the car for the next 25
minutes. If you're going to throw up, you might as well be outside.
Yeah. So I did that same thing with the boys. We went and stood sort of on the grass meridian or median in between two parking lots. And it was kind of a good time. And then I realized, oh, this kid probably just needs to walk.
Yeah.
And so we ended up following you across the parking lot into Walmart and stuff.
But it was just that intentional time.
Yeah.
With the boys.
And I'm really trying to put my phone away when those times happen mm-hmm. too. Because I find I'm so quicker to be annoyed.
Yeah. Like, well, because you're focused on something and then they interrupt. They're not meaning to interrupt, but like.
Yeah. And I'm focused on something stupid.
Yeah.
On my phone.
Yeah.
Right. But if I was just waiting by myself, it's totally socially acceptable and normal for people just to scroll through their phones.
Yeah.
But you're waiting with your kids. I feel like I should try and be more intentional. Take the moment to help them enjoy the life, mm-hmm. right? Because you and I want to smell the roses more, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not teaching that. Or I'm certainly
not modeling.
I'm not modeling that to the kids.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just trying to find time at those waiting times and be re-inspired by COVID a little bit. To slow down. And just to be like, actually, this isn't the most ideal thing, but we can go wait in this grass patch.
Yeah, like, be intentional just about spending time together.
Yeah, just being more intentional with modeling what we want our kids to be like and actually becoming better people along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the whole monkey see, monkey do thing, right? Like if we're constantly looking at our phones.
Right.
So why would they step away from their shows or tablets or whatever when we ask them to? Because this is what they see happening, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a good little nugget. Just being intentional in those, like, really mundane moments. Like, who would have thought in a moment where you're pretty sure your kid might puke after dinner? Let's just go and enjoy the grass and just be.
Well, truthfully, in a parking lot in Manitoba, there's not much else to enjoy.
No,
So
it's true.
let's look at the view of the field and highways.
Let's see if we can find a license plate of another province.
We did see one
We
that,
did see one, and
yeah.
everyone got really excited. They're like,
Oh,
BC!
was it a BC
It was
plate?
a BC
Oh,
plate.
that's
That's why
funny.
they were like squealing. It's cute.
I think the other thing that is sort of growing on us and sort of Instagram attributed as well is playing like mini games with our kids, or our older two especially, during
Special occasions
yeah, special
like New
occasions,
Year's
New
and
Year's, and I think we did them one at a time.
Christmas, maybe.
Is it Christmas or Easter?
Yeah, they kind of just associate it with like the big holidays now,
Yeah.
I think.
And it's like, it's
Minute to
these,
win it games.
yeah, it's these, like, there's a pile of flour and you have to carve away at it with
With
cards.
like a ball on top of
Yeah.
it, and you have to make sure it doesn't fall or something like that.
Yeah. Or rolling a marble across the table to land in cups that you can't see because they're taped to the other side of the table. You know, it was just one night. Our girls were 6 and 8 or something, and sort of getting to the point where it's sort of old enough to stay up later
For New
for
Year's
New
Eve,
Year's,
yeah.
especially because of the gap in our kids, like the 4 year gap between the girls and the boys.
Yeah.
It helps the older girls to feel older, and because they don't want to be associated with the little young boys.
Yeah.
Even at 6,
Yeah.
she wanted to be treated like a big girl, right? Where most people, when their first kid is 6, it's like, oh, like my little baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's funny. But I made a joke.
Aha, so
Yeah.
funny.
But yeah, just trying to on a sort of on a whim, like not even a budget, just a whim. We
We literally just grabbed things from our around our house.
Yeah. Well, we. I
Or
think that's
sorry,
generous.
you.
Yeah, thank you.
You grabbed things. I wasn't super into the idea. And then I came around.
Right. I channeled my into
I
my
think I was sick. I must have been sick.
probably.
Major holiday? Me sick? No, never.
Special occasion, romantic night, major
Winter.
holiday.
Winter. That's the keyword. Winter. It's winter. I'm probably sick. No,
Anyway.
you really took. Yeah, you took the lead on that though. Like you
Yeah.
searched up a bunch of minute to win it games, and you kind of looked around the house to see what we had.
I channeled my inner Sunday school teacher and just like strapped together a whole bunch of stuff that didn't quite work out well, but
But they loved
they
it.
loved it
I
so
think just
much.
because it was different and just because it was like not something we do.
Yeah.
And so,
And I grew up in such a TV household. I know you didn't, right? Because your parents love you. No, I'm just kidding. But
I didn't because we were all naturally addicted to it. And so my dad was like, no more.
right.
Yeah.
We were naturally addicted to it as well. I think that's how TV works. But
What? Yeah. Well, yeah.
yeah, we just watched TV all the time. So even when my family would stay up late, it was like, let's watch this movie together, or let's watch
Amazing Race, or
15 episodes of Extreme Home Makeover or something ridiculous, right? But we're not necessarily a TV family. At our
us,
best, we're not, right? And so trying to find something that can fill those moments that is fun for the kids and easy for us is sort of like this like little magic sauce, right? Yeah. But I think my upbringing in church life and yeah, just being a lot like my mom, where she was able to like whip up a meal for 15 people out of nothing, right? It's sort of like this resourcefulness that she has. I feel like I got that as
Like her
well.
wheels are always just always going.
Yeah. And so it's love you, mom. But it's been really good. But also means I'm not extremely intentional with like, ooh, let's play these games and 10 months out I'm gonna be shopping for it. It's like, oh yeah, I should spend time with my kids. Let me just look at my phone quick and see what's there.
Yeah, yeah.
What's some ideas, and then I'll try and spend time with my kids, right?
Whereas I'm the opposite. I like planning things out, like, long term. Right. And, like, the kids' birthday parties and stuff. I'm like, let's plan it all out. And you're like, let's just do it.
Right.
Let's just get this over with.
Yeah. You're like, let's buy the 45 candles for a candlelight dinner. And I'm like, is there one in the emergency kit in the car?
Like, I'm like, what? There's one in the car? I didn't know we had any.
Yeah.
You're practical. I'm extra.
Yeah. And intentional.
I'm intentional.
Yeah, you're intentional. Oh, okay. You're extra and intentional. And I'm practical and resourceful.
There we go. That's actually a really good.
Yeah.
That's a good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sums us up pretty good.
That sums us up pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Done.
Done. You had mentioned something about traveling with the kids. And traveling with the kids for me is really stressful. And I.
Fair enough. Me too.
I do not shine in those moments.
No.
Like, either I'm driving and I want to pull like a dad move and put earplugs in.
You kind of do that.
Okay.
You have your loops that you just like whoop.
Yeah, or my actual earbuds that I
noise canceling.
Noise canceling.
I'm like, hey Joel. You're just like doo-doo-doo.
Yeah. Or I am not driving, and
which is usually more so the case.
All right. Or I'm not driving and I'm trying to, you know, help the kids, but I'm really not enjoying it.
Yeah. Like, which is ends up not being overly helpful because
yeah,
you're just like at your wit's end.
Yeah. But we had a SUV for a while, mm-hmm. and we had to do these drives during
COVID.
When
we were living in Princeton.
Yeah. Between Princeton and the lower mainland of BC for hospital visits all the time or whatever. Yeah. And so actually the sunshade of the SUV, we like...
Oh, I forgot about this.
We like jimmied it so that we could...
The sunroof.
Yeah. So we could take a like a iPad folio case.
Yeah.
And take like the cover part and jam it in the sunroof.
And just like close the sunroof so just the iPad was sticking out the bottom.
Yeah. So it looked like we had... It was like the jankiest thing in the world. But like we mounted a TV into the car so that we
and then we just like stuck it to the Bluetooth system so like yeah. the movie played through the speakers.
Yeah,
but it was like our
not the worst solution in the world.
The worst. I mean, I'm also kind of wondering how legal it was. Like, is that I don't know. It's like an iPad hanging right here.
Yeah,
for the driver. But it worked.
Whatever. It worked.
We survived.
There were so many mountain drives that we just had to get through, and they were exactly yeah. the length of a movie.
Yeah.
Or just over. And it was like, or it was a movie was between our home and the Starbucks in Hope.
Right.
It's like, okay, we can put on Cinderella or something.
I think it was those trips that I actually discovered that you could download movies on Netflix and Disney.
Oh, okay.
Like before then, I didn't know you could do that.
That's funny.
And so it was always like this whole thing of like, how are we going to watch movies through the mountain pass where there's no data? Oh. And then you just downloaded them and was like, what?
It's amazing the things that are just so, like, obvious to me are...
Like, totally not obvious to me. I'm like, whoa, that's, like, game-changing. And you're like, yeah.
This is so obvious to me. I didn't know you didn't know it.
Well, then the kids would get excited because I'm like, what movies do you want to download? They're like, woo. And yeah. they, like, have a whole list of them.
Yeah. This is as close to Blockbuster as you're ever going to get, kids.
Yeah. The decision making is it's a real struggle.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
one?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really good one that we figured out. I think we were just desperate because maybe one of the iPads had died or something. And everyone wanted to watch something, but we only had the one.
Yeah. Well, four kids across two rows of seats.
At that time it was three kids. But yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Three kids.
Yeah.
Across two rows of seats or whatever. It was really hard to, and we weren't necessarily being resourceful or intentional. And so it was hard to find something that would just get us through the drive through the mountains.
Yeah.
Where we were so worried about a kid puking or so worried about the weather in the mountains.
Oh, that road.
On just really a tough highway to drive with kids.
And I was always anxious on that highway
Yeah.
because I can't handle puke.
Yeah.
And it's like,
You also deal with like road sickness
I
issues.
also get sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I would have to drive
Yeah.
because I, for whatever reason, don't feel sick when I'm driving. And so,
Oh, but I discovered Harry Potter. Like 20 years late to the game. You were driving, the kids were watching a show, and I like finally started reading Harry Potter
oh, the books.
and the
Yeah.
books. And so like I'm reading all these books during all these drives.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I would be driving and the kids are watching the movie and I'd be like stressing the whole time.
Yeah.
A, because the road was scary. Like this is curvy roads on the mountainside. But also because one of our kids is more prone to car sickness like
Yeah.
me
Yeah.
and oftentimes did throw up on that road. And
Yeah.
so you would be like plugged in, either listening or reading, or but you would have like your noise canceling headphones on. And I'd be sitting there like white knuckling steering wheel and like constantly checking to make sure that their face wasn't getting like whiter and whiter as the trip went on.
Yeah.
Which brings up a good point. Extra large Ziploc bags are a game changer with traveling in the car. No,
I wish you could find like blackout ones though.
so that you couldn't
You
see what
couldn't
was
see what's
in
in it.
it.
That's the gross part for me.
Yeah, that was, yeah. But you can seal it.
You can seal
Once
it.
it's full, you seal it and toss it and you're
Yeah,
good.
that's true.
But yeah, there have been a couple of times where that has saved a whole row of seats or a whole outfit when they remember to use it.
Yeah.
Once they're old enough, it works. But we always have a few of those tucked away in the car. I even bring them on the airplane because they say, hand you those little bags, and you're like,
Yeah.
have you ever helped someone who's throwing up before? That's not enough.
I'm sure they have, but I don't think I could have a flight attendant's job. That sounds like a
No,
nightmare.
it's awful. Absolutely awful. But yeah, that was one of my favorite
Yeah.
just like emergency things to have stashed in the car when I'm
Yeah.
traveling, and snacks, all the snacks.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I don't love snacks in the car. I
Yeah.
really prefer snack breaks. Like, we're stopping on the side of the road for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Everyone get out of the car and eat something.
Yeah.
Because kids are just so tough.
And they're messy.
Yeah.
You have to be like, I feel like you have to be intentional about what kind of snacks you're gonna eat. Like, we're still kind of figuring that out.
Yeah.
Like, what, obviously, yogurt drinks is a bad idea because it's gonna get everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know I have a big drive coming up with the girls, and I'm already thinking through how we're gonna eat and stuff like that. And it's like, oh man, this is gonna be interesting.
I know. I've been thinking through the snacks I'm going to pack for the airplane with the boys.
Right.
Because last time.
Yeah. I mean, 3 hours versus
No, I know. But 3 hours.
3 days.
And it's going to be at nighttime. So it's like.
Okay.
It'll be a long day for them. So I figure snacks kind of just pump them full of food. But last time, I got one of those really large Ziploc bags. And I just like put individual snacks in it for them, which was great. But the thing I didn't think through is like how sugary all the snacks were. And so by the time we were about to land, the boys were like dropping stink bombs
Oh,
in
gross.
the
Gross.
plane because they're actually not used to eating a lot of that food. Like, we make a lot of things at home, homemade, and they were getting like fruit snacks and like chocolate chip granola bars and fishy crackers and veggie straws. And I think I overdid it a little bit on like maybe the unhealthy stuff. So the snacks are great, but having a variety of stuff that's like not going to wreak havoc on their stomachs. But, if worse comes to worse, you have a really large Ziploc bag. What if they throw up? It catches it. That's how my anxious mind
Yeah.
processes. How is this multi-purpose? Anyway,
Yeah.
worst case scenario.
Yep.
Yeah. And then in the with like really big trips, like when we moved here across provinces, I packed backpacks for the kids. with all sorts of activities. Well, Hope got one too.
Yeah.
She was doing the drive with you, and the other kids were in the airplane. And it was just fun. Like, I just went to a dollar store and got, like, little trinkets and toys that they could play with and some coloring stuff. And I got these, like, little poppets for the boys that have, like, a little suction cup on the back of it so they could, like, stick it to the airplane wall and just sit there and push it. But what I didn't realize was the air pressure changes so much. So when we got, like, up to the highest point with altitude, they were like these little dinosaurs that had, like, the little poppet thing on the side. And they just ballooned out so far that they looked like they were going to explode. So maybe don't get those.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But they loved it because it kept them occupied. And so we had downloaded shows and stuff, but I don't even think I brought out the iPad for the flight because they were just, like, looking at all the new little treasures in their bag. I think it's important, no matter what season you're in as a family, to find something that you can do together that is, like, unique to your family.
Yeah.
Because, like, the candlelight dinners, that was something that we were able to maintain and are able to continue maintaining. Little minute to win at games at New Year's, like, generally that's something we can keep going. And, you know, park stops on the side of the road while I'm grocery shopping. Like, we can kind of do that anywhere.
And I think it's being willing to try stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That seems, like, stupid.
Yeah.
It seems like not something that would feel natural.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel natural until you try it. And it doesn't seem like a good idea until you try it.
And some of them are just, like, they're birthed out of, like, desperation.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I just desperately need something this moment. We're just going to do this and we're going to be happy about it. And then you realize, oh, we were actually happy about that. Like,
the dates in the car.
Yeah, the dates in the car. That was a lifesaver. That was, like, a lifeline for us.
Yeah.
Like, being able to spend that intentional moment together. And you just make it work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and these things will change too as we live our family life.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find new things and some things will drop off.
Yeah.
But there's something about just the effort of trying to.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of helps a kid's identity feel appreciated and loved.
Yeah. I think those are the moments that become their core memories, like, unintentionally.
Yeah.
Like, over the last couple of years, we didn't really have the budget to go out and get birthday decorations. And, like, I felt bad about that because I'd kind of built up an unachievable expectation with birthdays and, like, these grand parties. And we're just not always in that season, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for, like, I don't know, was it 2 years straight? I drew all of their birthday posters because that's what we could afford to do.
And that is such a labor of love.
It was labor of love because I don't know why, but I did three. Three per birthday.
And you have two birthdays this week coming up.
We're not doing them this year. Okay. Speaking of traditions. But it was so great because sometimes you can find the theme you want. And, like, lucky for us, I have enough of an ability to draw that it worked. But, you know, they got to pick out their birthday theme and they woke up the morning of and there was, like, three big poster boards on the living room wall of, like, their favorite character or whatever. And it was just, that was me feeling guilty that I didn't have birthday decorations for them and like desperately scrounging something together. Being like, oh, I have poster board or I have crayons or, you know, markers.
The best traditions are one born out of guilt and shame.
Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of. Well, like even the date nights, it was like, oh, I wish we could go on a date, but this is what works and this is great. You know, like.
I think guilt and shame helped to highlight what's missing in your life. And then you find something positive to fill it.
And you find the most important part of it. Like the key part. And then you work with that.
Yeah.
And so for them, it was just that they felt thought of and they felt special because it was just for them.
Right.
And, you know, the dates were, we felt special because we actually had a couple minutes of peace and quiet in the beginning just to like connect. And yeah, I think it's just, it's important to let yourself be creative in the moment and think outside of the box, or lean on other people who think outside the box. Like, sometimes Instagram influencers are really where it's at.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess take this as an encouragement to go and just try things. You never know what your family's going to cling to or like. And
yeah,
it's in the trying of new family activities and traditions that you really hope your kids feel loved and appreciated. And
I think the worst that can happen is they'll be like, that sucked. And you're like, yeah, it did. Let's move on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Low risk, high reward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.